This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Bethel City Council will consider rolling back its hard stance against two marijuana stores. In past meetings, the City Council protested Cusco Kush on 3rd Avenue and Alaskan-grown cannabis on Tundra Way. Tonight, they'll vote on amending those protests to protests that require conditions to be met. For Cusco Kush, the city's conditional protest would go away if the store gets a city conditional use permit and if the city sells the property to Cusco Kush. Currently, the city is leasing the land to the store. Council is due to make a final decision on the land sale December 3rd. For Alaskan-grown cannabis, the conditional protest would go away if the store obtains a conditional use permit and the state fire marshal determines that the property is safe. The council originally protested the store due to safety concerns about the old building. You can tune in tonight to hear a broadcast of the Bethel City Council meeting live on KYUK at 6:30 p.m. And a six-seater plane operated by Ute Air crashed in Good News Bay Sunday evening. Station manager Andrew Flagg says the pilot was the only one in the plane and escaped without injuries. Flagg declined to give any more details until the investigation into the crash concludes. And in hunting news, the Multnomah caribou herd population has dropped to half the size it was 3 years ago. To conserve the herd, the state issued an emergency order reducing the bag limit from 2 caribou to 1. Now, federal managers have issued even tighter hunting restrictions. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur reports that with the herd's decreased population, some people want the hunt shut down entirely.
Federally qualified local hunters can take 1 caribou on federal lands under the new regulations. In the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, Game Unit 18, that caribou must be a bull and hunters must be local subsistence users. Throughout the hunt, Kenton Mose will serve as the federal in-season manager. He has the authority to change the bag limit or shut down the hunt entirely, which could happen based on how many caribou are harvested and how easy it is for hunters to access them.
We want to recover this population, and it may mean a closure fairly soon.
Mose is working with the state to determine what criteria to use to trigger the closure.
We're trying to be very sensitive to people's needs, subsistence needs. However, we also have to have that balancing act of managing this herd for future generations.
The goal is to conserve what's left of the herd. The population decline is dramatic. 3 years ago, there were over 27,000 caribou surveyed. In the following survey this year, there were less than half that number, only 13,500. The number shocked biologists, including Mose.
This was sort of a surprise to me. There were some indicators that the population was stable and potentially showing potential for growth just a couple of years ago.
So why has the herd shrunk so much so fast? There seems to be plenty of food. Cows are having lots of healthy calves. Predators could be a problem, but the state has operated a wolf control program for the past several years. One driving issue seems to be overhunting. It's suspected that people are taking more caribou than they're reporting. Because of that, Mose emphasized that registering and reporting your hunt quickly is critical to managing the herd this season, and law enforcement will have a greater presence than usual. John Andrew is an elder from Gweethluk. The village has a strong tradition of caribou hunting. He's skeptical of the herd's low numbers and says many people in his community view harvest reporting as invasive.
We lose our privacy, and it'll be like if I go up to you and ask you a question, what you've been eating every day, where you buy your food, where you buy your clothing from. Don't you rather keep it to yourself?
Some people want to go further and close down hunting entirely on the Mulchatna caribou herd.
It's no-brainer that this hunt should be closed.
Alyssa Nadine Rogers chairs the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta Regional Advisory Committee. She's been consulting with federal managers about what to do about the population decline for months. The herd covers a massive area, from the YK Delta to the Western Interior to Bristol Bay. Rogers says there's not enough caribou for everyone, and it's too easy to accidentally kill or wound more than one caribou because of how densely they herd.
And if each single person who a federally qualified user actually goes out hunting, we're going to completely wipe out this herd this year.
Closing caribou hunting wouldn't be easy. Rogers says with the summer salmon restrictions, people have been relying more on caribou to fill their freezers. And this fall, many Kuskokwim hunters did not get a moose because there was low water and poor weather. These slim harvests could put greater hunting pressure on caribou this winter. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
And a Crooked Creek man faces first-degree murder charges after a deadly fight this weekend. Alaska State Troopers in Aniak and Bethel responded to a call early Saturday morning and arrested Ronald Waskey, age 30, for the death of Evan Waskey, age 26. Troopers took Ronald to the Yukon-Kuskokwim Correctional Center in Bethel. This is the second violent death in Crooked Creek this year. A woman died in August after her boyfriend allegedly beat her. Harold Miles Gregory was arraigned for killing Cheryl Sakar. His next hearing is scheduled for November 27th. About 100 people live in Crooked Creek without any policing, and the nearest law enforcement lives in Aniak, more than 50 miles down the Kuskokwim River. And finally, Rural Cap has set up its equipment in Bethel to weatherize homes. But before this year, they were in Quinnahock, where about half the homes in town were improved. KYUK's Greg Kim has more.
For the past 5 years, Rural Cap project manager Shelby Clem has been weatherizing homes in Quinnahock. This year, he went in one of the homes, and the need for weatherization was obvious.
You know, lots of leaks and gaps everywhere. You know, you couldn't help but notice that there's zero insulation in this attic.
That home belonged to Barbara Wassily. She said in past winters she would use 50 gallons of fuel a week. On top of that, she would supplement her Toyo stove with a wood stove. Last year, she started burning wood in September.
Now we still haven't put it on. So we were living in a drafty house, but no more draft since they did sealing the house.
Shelby is certain that this winter, Barbara and her family won't be blowing through 50 gallons of fuel a week.
She might have to refill the barrel once this year.
Rural Cap also added a fan that turns on by itself to regulate humidity in her house. And they added a safety feature that's Barbara's favorite.
We were so happy they made a balcony to go out the door and little stairs. It's so cute, and I think... Again, Rural Cap.
Rural Cap's weatherization assessor, Dennis Waldron, says they worked on around 70 homes total in Quinnahock, about half the homes there. He says everyone who was eligible and applied got the services. The organization's grant manager, Marla Tombleson, says Rural Cap prioritizes areas with lower average income. That, along with how recently weatherization services have been offered in a community, are the criteria. She says next on the list for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta are Chifornik and Kong, but she's not sure when that'll happen.
This is probably going to be taking a lot longer nowadays because right now we have been cut from the budget of the governor.
She says back in the day, Rural Cap would weatherize 250 homes a year. Now they're down to 30. In Bethel this year, they expect to work on 10 to 15 homes. You can apply online at ruralcap.com/weatherization. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for Yukton News coming up.